Nigeria Radio, bringing Nigerians in diaspora up to speed.
Spirit of Nigeria Radio, bringing Nigerians in diaspora up to speed. The authentic source of Nigerian information, positive Nigerian energy all the way. All right, still on the conversation today, appropriate pricing of petroleum products in Nigeria. It's been quite interesting, of course. We spoke to a couple of people as advertised. The first person we spoke to Prince Dr. Gbenga Lufadegu, and then we spoke to Comrade Abiodun Aremu. And now we are on our last conversation. We have Daniel Young here with us, an aviation consultant. Good day to you, sir.
Good afternoon.
Yes, sir. How are you doing today?
Very well, thank you. And you?
Very well. You're welcome to Spirit of Nigeria Radio.
Thanks for having me.
Thank you for doing this with us. All right, we're looking at the topic, appropriate pricing of petroleum products in Nigeria. And Nigeria has 5 refineries, 4 government-owned, and it currently imports virtually all its refined petroleum products. The Federal Executive Council has approved $1.5 billion, that's about 600 billion naira, for the rehabilitation of Port Harcourt refinery. Now, the Minister of Petroleum, Peter Siva, said the rehabilitation will be done in 3 phases of 18, 24, and 24 months. Now, the country has in the past spent billions of dollars on refinery maintenance. Now, despite the project potential, however, the refineries have not worked, with many experts calling for privatization. Now, what is your take, or what are your thoughts on the rehabilitation of the Port Harcourt refinery?
Well, three key things stand in bold relief in what you have just said. Now, one, the pricing. Two, reinvestment in terms of injecting funds into a dying organization, and then again, concessioning or privatization. Now, I'll start with the last. Before 1999, the country had over 200 and something government, 261 or thereabout, government corporations in the class of NNPC. Today, we have less than 41. That means that over 220 have gone into private hands. And not one of these 200 can be said to be working. There is still unemployment, and we are not productive. Those ones, what they do is concession or privatized government corporations, pushing them into their own personal hands, and thereafter, balkanizing the real estate structures of the government or agencies or the corporations, leaving it dead. So I do not see any difference in what they intend to do now with NNPC. And what government does most times is that they embellish the structures, injecting funds, therefore making it difficult for government to take over and easy for those that they intend to hand over those corporations to operate, because all the bad equipment must have been rehabilitated by government using public funds. And so whoever is receiving those companies will then have nothing to do but to harvest the profits. Now, that's on the one side. So I think that investing money in NNPC as it stands today is not a good idea.
Okay.
Secondly, the price of petroleum has been changed 4 times since this administration. I do not condemn them, but you see, it was part of the campaign promises that they made that prices were going to come down and things were going to normalize. We are yet to see that. But one thing you must understand is that there is what we call in business a butterfly effect. And this happens once that there is a change in the slightest or the smallest sector in the country. What happens is that you have a ripple effect affecting every other sector. Once there's a slight increase in the price of fuel, everything else comes topsy-turvy. We will not be able to survive it. At 200 naira per liter, the average man in Nigeria is bound to suffer unnecessarily. What we are going through in the country is preventable poverty, poverty that is imposed on people. The amount of money we are injecting in the process to make it active is sufficient enough to galvanize all sorts of activities to make this economy functional. But no one intends to do that. I think that is a question of sincerity. It's a big question of sincerity amongst those who are concerned. Now, the last thing, which is the pricing, really. In commerce, or as well as in manufacturing, we have what we call price penetration. For you to determine the price of a commodity, you must factor in the interest of the end users. You cannot produce pure water and say you are selling it for 300 naira. Nobody will buy. How much is the consumer willing to pay? What we have here is an imposition of pricing or prices on the public because you think that we have no choice. But once the prices increase and there is scarcity of the same product in the market, you will encourage more people to start stealing and bunkering. You will encourage crime in the process. And that is why there is a high level of insecurity in the country. When those who are farming in the villages cannot bring their goods to the town to sell because of the cost of movement from point A to point B. Because if I'm going to move from Ibadan to Lagos and I used to pay 600 and you increase the fuel price and I'm asked to pay 2,000 naira, I have goods worth 2,000, 3,000 naira to sell. What is the need in bringing it from Ibadan to Lagos? So I think the government should do their study very well. This is not a good idea, and people are not happy about it, and there is nothing anybody can do about it, because why? We are suffering unnecessarily.
All right.
I think that answers your questions.
Well, yes, I like the angle taking the analysis, but thank you very much. You said something about the fact that rehabilitation of the refinery isn't a good idea. Now, you are saying that the rehabilitation of the refinery is not a good idea, but at the same time, like the previous conversation that we had, it mentioned that by rehabilitating our refinery, it will automatically mean that the prices of these commodities, talking about the PMS, will drop.
It's not going to affect productivity. It's not going to affect pricing for the simple reason. Let me tell you. Now, the simple reason that there is no transparency in the process called Nigeria. Only recently we had this issue of privatization of airports in Nigeria, which I think, of course, is going to be revived by the same process that we have all known about. I think investing money in revitalizing the petroleum sector, and especially the refineries, will not aid supply, neither will it drive down the price. Reasons are very clear. The person who is injecting his money, which is government fund, because there is no permanent structure in terms of investment program, you are putting money without knowing when you are going to get it back. You understand?
Yeah.
You are putting money, you are investing money without determining how long it will take to get back the investment and how much you will sell to make. See, it's not, you don't just throw money into business. You must do your projections. You must look at the timelines. If I'm going to put in 500,000 naira to activate these dead refineries, because they are dead units. Now, how long will it take me to get back the 500,000? How many people will be employed in the process? What metric tons? Metric tons do we expect from the output from these refineries per day? If you cannot determine that, then why invest money? Have you ever seen someone who wants to go into business without having a definitive or a clear business model? A business model is what tells us how a business makes money. How is NNPC going to make back the money from that they're investing into the refineries? It's a clever way of giving people the impression that something is going on, whereas these monies will find their ways into private hands. There's no clarity in what they're doing. As far as I'm concerned, unless they're able to make a clear business model that the whole world will see, that we are borrowing 150 billion or we are injecting 150 billion naira into this process, and in the next 3 years we are having 450, or we are at least getting back our investments, and then there will be surplus supply of these petroleum products as a result of this investment. There is nothing is clear. And nobody can convince me. I've been in business for a very long time. And that is the reason why when you bring ideas like this, I put it on the template. I put it in a template, a business model, to define exactly what the outcomes will be. You can't put in money without telling us what we are expecting. No, it's an outrage on common sense. For me to sit down and someone is telling me you want to inject 100 and something billion naira in a process without telling us how the money is going to come back, how many people are going to be deployed, how many metric tons the refinery is going to process per day. I mean, it doesn't work out. It's not panning out. I can't see it. So I have nothing against anybody who intends to invest money there. They might have their own private business. But I say, I'm telling you here that is an assault on common sense. For you to tell me that you want to inject money in a process like that without timelines. Mm-hmm. No one does that. Okay, what is it? How much petrol, fuel are we consuming per day in Nigeria? Do they know? They don't. Port Harcourt, how many was the refinery in Port Harcourt? What volume was it producing before it went dead? We don't know. If you put in this money, how much petrol will it be able to refine in a year or in a month or in a quarter? We don't know. Well, and you expect us to be dancing?
Okay.
Yeah. I'm here.
Okay, according to their own report, it says the four government-owned refineries have a combined capacity of 445,000 barrels per day, and for the Port Harcourt, it's 410 barrels. This kind of fine, just one day, about 210 barrels of crude oil.
This research, the figures you are giving to us now, what's the source?
Well, this is not the... I listened to it in an interview, and the president also...
Now, it's not a verifiable source. Are you hearing me?
I'm with you.
In the industry where I play, which is aviation, some years back we were told that domestic passenger movement or passenger throughput across the country stood at 19 million passengers per annum.
Mm.
But the facts today show that is less than half that number per annum. Verifiable facts. But if you go to some sources that you find, you say, because you see people, you know, coming into the airport and going, everyone there is not a passenger.
Yeah.
And because people throw around figures here in Nigeria that we can't verify. Someone tells you we produce 450,000 metric tons of fuel per day. It's a lie. If you want to know the real figures, they should conduct an independent research and publish the research. And then you see, it's only when you have a neutral third party doing this research and not government setting an exam and marking it herself.
Mm-hmm.
Do you understand?
Definitely.
We can't rely on those figures because you see, they're suspect. Someone tells me that we have 3,000 passengers in Abuja Airport, therefore we have to sell it because Abuja Airport is not profitable. I mean, anyone can listen to that and agree because anything we hear in the news, we take it. That is the truth. But who amongst us, or where do you find people in Nigeria who can take the pains to look into the facts as presented and challenge those facts based on the realities on ground? I will not rely on those assumptions because as far as I'm concerned, the assumptions, the figures are hypothetical until we have an independent research conducted by an independent body who can give us the exact figures as they are. And then it's only with those figures you can now make your plans. These plans that they have, are they bankable? If you want to know whether your ideas are sound or that these projections that are made are correct, let them take the papers to any bank and ask the bank to borrow them money to invest there. You see that every bank will decline because the figures are written just so that government will bring out money. But if you have to approach HSBC or Bankers Trust or any of the global banks that you know to say, please borrow us money, to then you have to do the proper thing. And then if you are going to invest this money, what guarantee do you have that the next government, assuming that APC does not take over again by 2023, another party takes over the leadership of this country, what is the guarantee that those ones will come in and say, I've not told those people to stop work, that they're not clear about what they're doing, and that means that all that money invested will go down the drain again? It's a recurring decimal here. Failure has become a bedmate in Nigeria. And you see, painfully, we are borrowing from the future of people in Nigeria who are less than 25. Mm. And we are not investing it well. Mm. The future, as far as I know, today in this country, can be changed. Things can go better because we have people who are mentally sound here, people who have ideas that can change things in this country, but they're sidelined. They can't. They don't have a say.
Mm.
So the parameter, the criteria that we are using today to assess projects for investment are not sound and not bankable. And therefore, as far as we are concerned, as far as I'm concerned, the way I see it is another money down the drain. It will not achieve any purpose. And then at the end of the day, those that will suffer, those coming behind us 20 years from today, the way I see it, are bound to become slaves because they will find it difficult to pay back or to restore sanity in the system since we have failed to do so in our time. I am of the opinion that government should look at those papers again and the documents that they want to use or the documents that are informing the decision they are making. Review the documents critically and ask themselves whether putting down that money would make any sense, or giving out the organization to be private hands will make sense. Because you see, like what we say, government has no business in business. Government has no business in business. Government should play a regulatory role. You see, like a referee, provide a level playing field and allow investors and entrepreneurs to play. American economy is driven today by private sector. And people are encouraged to invest their monies into the economy and employ people. But what do you have in Nigeria? People are afraid to invest their monies. People prefer to go into government because government contract is not contract. Working for government is not work. Because what you are doing is regimented. The day they sack you from that job, you come out milling around without any clear ideas. But you know why? You know what? That's where every Nigerian wants to go because it offers an opportunity for stealing. Everyone wants to be a civil servant. Everyone wants to be a government contractor. Because if you work for private sector, you get money. There is no private sector corporation in Nigeria organization that is doing well without government funding. It's impossible. The man who is into construction of engineering constructions get 80% of his clientele from government. So if you remove government, the economy collapses. So fuel, the petroleum sector is one that requires careful planning. Is one that we need to call ourselves to a meeting and ask ourselves why these problems have persisted over these years. At the root of it all is that we have not found a common ground. We have not found people who can sit down and say, yes, we got it wrong here, and then be sincere with themselves about addressing these problems. What I think we are doing with all these measures that government is, of course, what we are doing is massaging a festering wound. It won't go. I believe that it can be done right. I also believe that government should, call this process to halt and review before investing or taking out those moves. The price of where we get to 500 naira eventually, the way we are going. Because I read the other time someone who is an eminent Nigerian saying, they are selling fuel for 600 naira a liter in Saudi Arabia. Why we are getting it for almost free here? But did not tell himself the truth that Saudi Arabia has light, has good road, has security. Here, the Nigerian who lives here provides, what's he called, his own power supply, provides security for himself, provides pipe water for himself. It's the sacred duty of government to provide these things. And if government does not provide, an individual is providing it again and is buying fuel at it and is exorbitant rate. Fuel that we are using is not purely for electricity at home. We use it for business. I'm into manufacturing also. Mm. You can't also run a factory today and they are relying on NEPA light. You must have two or three standby generators, and you must buy diesel. Now, we produce furniture. We also produce school uniforms and all the rest here in Nigeria. The price of the same product we are making here is times three what the imported ones will cost in the market. The price of the important ones are cheaper than ours. Why? Because of the cost of production, which is influenced by the price of fuel. Therefore, why do I have to employ people here in Nigeria when I can employ that import those same products I'm producing here and still make more gain? So, by increasing the price of fuel, the government is indirectly killing the private sector. It does not just end up with driving my car from point A to point B. It affects every aspect of our lives here. Private companies are going to die as a result of this. The man who is a welder and who is a carpenter is going to suffer because he needs to buy a bigger generating set. And he needs to buy more fuel to be able to produce. So if you are going to produce a piece of furniture for 2,000 naira, it's going to come to about 4,500 or thereabout. So everyone is affected. There will be higher level of unemployment. Because whereas I have 20 staff, I'm going to have to cut down to 5 to be able to pay the 5 rather than have 20 people and I cannot pay. So the rest will be pushed into the streets. And what do you think will become their work? Kidnapping becomes another alternative for those who do not have a means of livelihood, because survival is the basic thing that every human being pursues. How do I eat? How do I survive? Where do I sleep? So you push a man out for 6 months, 1 year, and he has a family, has no work. The devil becomes the devil's workshop. All sorts of ideas will begin to mill around his mind, and then what do you expect? Government should do their best to bring down some of these major areas that influence the outcome of people's life. And I think the petroleum sector is key to whatever we're doing. The price of fuel must not be allowed to go beyond where it is now, or the economy will die with all its glamour.
Wow, this is, in fact, you said a lot, as a matter of fact, and I agree with quite a lot of things that you said. And all we need now is to hold the government to, of course, wake up and do the right thing. All right, thank you so much, Daniel Young, an aviation consultant. And of course, we've been talking appropriate pricing of the
system. Now, I forgot to mention this. Hello?
Yes.
We are having issues in the aviation sector today. People are complaining about the price of tickets, local tickets. From here to Kano, some time ago, I think last week, some people paid 85,000. I paid 62 coming back. Now, the truth is this. Aviation fuel has risen to a point where it's almost becoming impossible for the sector to operate, or the airliners to operate. To fuel an aircraft from here to Abuja and back will cost you over 2 million naira. And then you have 16 passengers on board.
Wow.
Paying you 35,000, 40, because if you notice, sometimes you find almost an empty aircraft.
Okay.
And you must move.
Yeah.
And you get to your location, you want to turn around, and I have 30 passengers. You must come back. Now, you have spent 2 million naira or 2.5 million naira to fuel the aircraft, and you have earned 600,000 naira. Is it sustainable?
Okay.
And then if someone is paying 85,000 naira to go, that's why you see that those who naturally would have gone for Easter by air would have to find their way by road. And then what's the implication? The hoodlums and bandits who are waiting for them on the road will take advantage of the season and then kill and kidnap people. One challenge in one aspect of the economy affects the overall ecosystem. And that's what we call the butterfly effect. That once the flapping of a butterfly in Aba will affect the weather in Abuja, because every is a circle and everyone is contributing his own quota to it. So government should look at this. And the economy is suffering. The airlines are suffering. Government provided palliative the other day to airlines. But you see, it's insignificant as far as I'm concerned, whatever they did, because it does not solve the problem. And the price of tickets will keep rising as long as the economy remains this way. And that ultimately will lead to the death of many of these domestic airlines. The worst thing that can happen to an aircraft is to park it. So let me end it here so that so I don't get unnecessarily this thing over this issue, emotional.
We can only hope for a better Nigeria. We can only hope that our teachers fight off their responsibility and of course the right. All right, thank you so much.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
All right, thank you. Energy. God bless you.
And you can enjoy the rest of your day.
All right, thank you.
Wow. Okay, well, definitely that's from a different angle entirely. In a great time, of course, of freedom of your review, a great pricing of petroleum products in Nigeria. And of course, as I want to believe that our listeners have been able to pick quite a couple of things from this particular conversation. Well, of course, we just rounded up our conversation with Daniel Young, an aviation consultant. Keep listening to Spirit of Nigeria Radio. We'll be back shortly.
Spirit of Nigeria Radio, bringing Nigerians in diaspora up to speed.